Bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thanks, Ollie Barrett. Cheers, mate. It's Thursday's Richie Allen radio show. You know that, you're here. If you didn't know that, you wouldn't be here. My name is Richie Allen. Thanks for joining me. It's cleared up a bit in Salford. It has been a pretty wretched day weather-wise, but how could we possibly complain in light of what's happening in other parts of the country? Again, genuine thoughts go to those struggling to deal with flooding around the country. Right, do get in touch with me throughout the programme. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. At Richie Allen Show on Twitter.
What the hell is wrong with you, you sick bastard?
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Well, Kobe Bryant is undoubtedly one of the biggest sporting superstars of the last 25, 30, 40 years, no doubt about it. And of course, a few weeks back, he died in a helicopter crash in Los Angeles. And I've been following former NFL football player Larry Johnson, who made a viral video about Kobe Bryant's death, where he showed LeBron James making what appears to be... LeBron James, of course, is a current basketball superstar, arguably one of the greatest of all time. And when they had a tribute to Kobe after his death before a Lakers game, there's no doubt about it, LeBron James is making some very strange hand gestures, you know, common to secret societies. The 666 thumb and forefinger gesture, the pyramid sign. And Larry Johnson tweeted that he is practicing, LeBron James anyway, practicing Luciferianism. And the media picked up on that in the United States because Larry Johnson is a former NFL star. Now, I've got a really interesting gentleman on the program today. I've got a lot of time for him. I discovered him very recently. His name is Larry Gators. And Larry is the host and moderator of the Global Spiritual Revolution Radio and Media Group in New York City. And he's got a very popular radio program. Larry talks about these issues and much more besides. So he joins the program a little bit later on this hour. And we'll have an extended conversation with him about black secret societies, about the cult of celebrity. We'll talk about Freemasonry and much more with Larry Gators. And I think you'll enjoy hearing Larry. So I look forward to that. So I do, to be sure. Coming up for 5.5 minutes. Past five, this is your Richie Allen radio show. And would you believe it? Hayden Hewitt and Graham Booth will be broadcasting once again from the Trigger Warning Studios in North Manchester this evening at 10 o'clock because they have successfully fundraised. They have successfully raised the funds to replace the camera equipment and software that was stolen from them a few weeks ago. And I couldn't be happier about that. Chuffed to bits I am. So look out for that later on this evening. Hayden Hewitt, Graham Booth, Trigger Warning Gang, live at 10 p.m. For more details, go to triggerwarning.tv or look for the Trigger Warning channel on YouTube. More power to the lads, I say. Well, Sky News is beating the war drum then. I don't exaggerate. This isn't conjecture. I'm not going to rant. I'm not going to raise my voice. I'm not going to grandstand. I've never done it and I never will. No exaggeration. This is deadly. It's deadly. The consequences of what's going on are deadly. Sky News is running a pro-war infomercial all day called Syria, a Special Report, and it's based around a film made by one of Sky's correspondents, a woman called Crawford, who's been in Idlib for a couple of days. None of this is coincidental. The timing of it is perfect. It comes as the United Nations has condemned the Russian forces, the Russian military and the Syrian government and the Syrian military for what it says is humanitarian crimes, crimes against humanity in Idlib. This is all timed. All of these organizations are working together to beat the war drum. It is dreadful. Sky runs this, a special report, Syria, a special report with dramatic music and wonderful production values. And the program, which is running all day long on Sky's channel, is full of horror stories claiming that hundreds of thousands of Syrians are trapped in Idlib province and there they are being bombed to smithereens by Syrian forces and Syria's Russian allied forces. Russian forces, of course, which are allied with Syria. Hospitals are being destroyed, they say. Civilians are fleeing Idlib and they are being targeted from the sky, they say. And Sky says the Turkey, and this is coming straight from the Turkish president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan is the guy's name, yeah, President Erdogan, the Turkish president, he says he's poised to engage Syrian forces. Okay? And Sky News is asking why the US and the UK doesn't support Turkey to take on Syria, to defend all of the people trapped in Idlib. It's truly remarkable. It was unthinkable. I would never have believed when I started in the mainstream media nearly 20 years ago. In fact, more than 20 years ago. Wow. It's 22 years ago now that I set foot at WLRFM in Waterford. And I would never have believed when I started back then that I would be witnessing what I am witnessing today. It's terrifying. That's not melodrama. It really is. The scale of the lies being told today is almost paralysing to me. It takes the breath out of my lungs, literally, to see them do it and to see them get away with it. Kay Burley, Sky's longest serving presenter, is first up. She had Tobias Elwood MP on this morning. He's a Conservative Party MP, of course, and he chairs the Commons Defence Select Committee. Oh, it's horrifying, says Kay to Tobias Elwood. All the children dying and in incubators and freezing to death. And that's what she says to Tobias Elwood. That's the opening salvo. There's no question there. She says, oh, it's terrifying, all of these children. Something needs to be done, she says. Elwood's response is, well, he gives her a bit of appreciation because Sky is really helping his warmongering paymasters. Here's his response.
Well, firstly, well done for you for pouring some light onto this problem. It's been going on many, many years. And you're absolutely right.
Thanks for running your infomercial, Kay, about the plight of Syria's children.
You're right, it isn't just the British government, it's the West. After the vote in 2013, where we chose to step back, essentially allowing Russia to move in, it's been a catastrophe unfolding. And what we see happening now in Idlib is that final chapter, if you like, of this barbaric dictator choosing to bomb his own people.
Barbaric dictator choosing to bomb his own people. As Ferris Bueller once said, if you dried that one out, or was it his sister who said it? If you dried that one out, you could fertilise the lawn with it. We've heard that 1,000 times in the last 30 years, haven't we? He's a brutal dictator and he's bombing his own people.
And it's absolutely right that Britain should ask what we can actually do. There was supposed to be a UN Security Council resolution denying further access to control Assad and to introduce a ceasefire. But of course, that was vetoed by Russia. We need to recognize that the UN is broken when it comes to these things. We need to act together, support our NATO ally, and protect those citizens and those refugees and those displaced people, including children, many of whom, I'm afraid, are freezing to death every single night south of Idlib.
Yeah, diplomacy, is that?
Yeah, says Kay. Yeah. Then rather than challenge any of what she's just been told, especially about the he's bombing his own people bullshit, which Sky, along with many other organisations, did promise after the Iraq war debacle that they would be a little bit more, shall we say, sceptical in the future when government ministers tells them that we need to intervene because, well, a madman is bombing his own people. No, Kay just joins right in.
Is that broken as well? In 2016, the then Foreign Secretary...
Is diplomacy broken?
Boris Johnson said, we've got to work with the tools we have. The tools we have are diplomatic. I think the most powerful weapon we have at the moment is our ability to make President Putin and the Russians feel the consequences of what they're doing. What happened?
The most powerful weapon we have is force. We know that. That's ultimately the last resort. diplomatic procedures absolutely must precede that. But those, as you've been illustrating, are broken. The UN no longer works because of the veto by either China or, in this case, to do with Syria, Russia. So we have a major question to ask ourselves as this tragedy in front of us unfolds over the next few days. Are we going to allow a person, a dictator, a barbaric leader of Syria to actually bomb his own people? There's a precedent set here. After Rwanda, a rule came through, an international agreement. That
little bit of Rwanda revisionism here.
That there is a duty to protect your own citizens. If you fail to do that, the international community can step in. And that is something that we now need to seriously consider. And that's exactly what Turkey is anticipating to do.
Yeah, and we should help Turkey. We should get involved now, get our military involved. Back to Kay.
2018, Boris Johnson accused Vladimir Putin of being a lifeline for the murderous Syrian regime. You know, there's an awful lot of talk.
That was her follow-up, by the way. I'm not selectively editing it. Party didn't say, "You're not seriously suggesting, are you, Mr. Elwood, that we send troops to the region?" That's not worked before, has it, pal? It's only made things worse. Millions of people get killed. Surely you're not advocating a military response to what's happening in Syria. But no, Burley says, well, here's what Burley says.
2018, Boris Johnson accused Vladimir Putin of being a lifeline for the murderous Syrian regime. You know, there's an awful lot of talk going on. Our viewers will be looking at these pictures today and they will resonate with some of the comments that you've just made about kids dying every day, freezing to death overnight. It's a terrible situation there at the moment, absolutely freezing cold, as we were told by Baroness Amos.
Yes, rather than challenge anything that Tobias Elwood is telling her, Kay is doubling down on something must be done. This is why when I said in my opening remarks that the media is warmongering, it is. Our audience is watching The Children on the Report by Alex Crawford, and they see children freezing to death, and they're told that hospitals are being bombed by the bastard Bashar. They want something done about it, says Kay.
What can the British government do today, tomorrow, in the coming weeks and months to try to ease their suffering?
We want war, dammit.
Let's accept that the UN can no longer help here. We saw that last night when the Russia vetoed the resolution. Therefore, we have to ask ourselves...
Let's not accept that the United Nations can't help here. Let's accept, you warmongering fucking maniac, that the United Nations is doing its job. Thank God we have countries like China who can veto any military action in Syria. Thank heavens for that. Let's have a resolution declaring a no-fly zone. And China says, no thanks, we won't have any of that. I think the United Nations is working perfectly in this situation. Listen to what he says next.
Whether this is now moves into the quarters of NATO.
Let's get NATO involved.
Or a NATO ally.
Because that worked out really well in Libya back in 2011, didn't it?
And recognise that if we are going to stop a bloodbath, then we need to act soon. I think the time for talking has now stopped. The pressures on us to help here are immediate and urgent. We need to ask ourselves what we would do were these our own people. What calls for help would we give to the international community? I really urge the West and Britain especially to do more than just talk about trying to help here, but actually act.
Let's bomb. Let's stop talking about it and let's start dropping bombs. How about that?
Act.
You're advocating force.
Jesus Christ. You're advocating force, you ginger muppet. It's you're the one demanding action on behalf of your viewers.
I'm advocating that if we run out of the diplomatic avenues, then absolutely we need to look carefully at what we can do.
Absolutely.
To protect. When I say force, I simply mean that there was an agreement last year by Iran, by Russia, by Turkey, and indeed Syria, to make a protective zone around Idlib. The Syrians, thanks to the Russians on the bombing and so forth, have breached that. So there is an international precedent, a legality, for us to then step in and provide that buffer zone and prevent Assad from attacking Idlib and killing more of his own people.
Okay, we're out of time. Just a very quick question on Boris Johnson.
Yeah, we're out of time. I'm not going to ask you any questions whatsoever. I'm just going to let you come on here and beat the war drum. I'm just going to vacate my responsibility as a journalist to challenge your warmongering, hateful, lunatic fucking shtick, spiel. I'm not going to do anything, I'm just going to let you say whatever you want. Okay, Burley. Later on in the day, Sky remember running Alex Crawford's Syria film all day long. They bring David Miliband on. Miliband is a former Labour foreign secretary, one time former Labour leadership candidate, but he lost to his backstabbing brother, Edward. He's a Blairite, David Miliband, a Zionist, a neocon Zionist to the core, right? Totally committed to the agenda. He works in humanitarian aid these days, which doesn't really mean humanitarian aid. On Sky today, he couldn't resist a little bit of storytelling, tall tale-telling either. This is David Miliband.
The pictures that you are showing, the stories that you're telling...
Stories you're telling today, Sky, the pictures that you are showing are powerful indeed.
...should really shame the countries that are both perpetrating the crimes that we're seeing, the bombing of hospitals and health centres, the bombing of civilians fleeing.
The bombing of civilians fleeing. Again, immediately the presenter should interject there and say, is there any evidence to support this idea that the Syrian Air Force is bombing people who are trying to leave Idlib? Because the Syrian government has been pretty clear on this in the past. It has said it is not doing any such thing. It has said that it has to root out the last strongholds of terrorists in the country. It's got to get rid of them. It's got to get rid of them fairly quickly. And it has made arrangements, and it has provided the passageway for people to leave Idlib, but many people are being held against their will in parts of Idlib province by some of these jihadi head choppers. We've got to do the best we can to take on these guys. That's what the Syrian government has been saying. These invaders in our country, we're certainly not bombing anybody from the air, and we're not bombing hospitals. Does the presenter challenge David Miliband's bullshit that civilians fleeing are being targeted? Like hell he does.
The bombing of hospitals and health centres, the bombing of civilians fleeing, but also those countries who are turning away and saying that there's nothing that they can do. This now is a threat not just to the civilians on the ground, but to the peace and security of the whole region, never mind to Europe, because of course, if there is to be a further exodus across the border into Turkey, that will rebound into Europe, and that's why it demands the highest level of attention.
Absolutely, David. It'll rebound into Europe, and it's exactly what you and your madmen pals want. Let's leave David Miliband. It was relentless today. Let's move on to the afternoon. Sarah Jane Mee is the afternoon presenter. Another hopeless, inveterate, useless amoeba. She's interviewing a guy from Médecins Sans Frontières. Doctors Without Borders. Of course he's on message. Humanitarian catastrophe. The West needs to intervene. Children are dying. You are going to hear her finish an interview with the Médecins Sans Frontières guy. Forgive my dreadful pronunciation. MSF, Doctors Without Borders. You will hear her end the interview with the doctor who talks about the catastrophe. And then even you will be stunned when you hear her introduce the next item. It is relentless.
They are in the same situation as everybody, and the life in Idlib and around Idlib and in the camps is very, very harsh. I mean, let's be honest. There are reports of children dying in the camps, but
the children.
Freezing to death in the camp.
They're all on message in the camps.
And the situation is horrible.
Situation is horrible. Now the interview is over. Listen to what she does.
And they are very courageous.
Yeah, Emmanuel Massat from...
Listen to the editorialising here. She's going for a world record.
Médecins Sans Frontières, we appreciate all the work you do, you and your staff. Thank you so much for talking to us here on Sky News. The situation, as we've been telling you today here on Sky News in Idlib, in the north of Syria, is desperate.
We're telling you the situation is desperate.
It's at breaking point. We're going to have much more coverage throughout the day here.
It's at breaking point, she's saying. It's desperate. Editorialising. Listen to what she does next. Listen to this. You won't believe it.
Here on Sky News, it's a harrowing but very important watch. It's 20 to 4. The National Cyber Security Centre says it has uncovered Russian cyber attacks on Georgia.
What kind of fuckery is this?
Wow. Let's come out of an interview with a doctor from Doctors Without Borders. Let's editorialise and tell the audience how desperate it is in Idlib. The children are freezing to death. And then let's go straight into an item about how... how Russia is cyber attacking Georgia. It's relentless. Here's the story.
They say Russia's military intelligence is responsible in an attempt to undermine Georgian sovereignty and sow discord in the country. Russia has denied any involvement in these attacks. Well, let's speak to our foreign affairs editor, Deborah Haynes, about this. Deborah, what more can you tell us?
So this was a coordinated statement by the Foreign Office, also by the Georgian Foreign Ministry and by the US government as well, calling out the GRU, which is Russia's military intelligence service, for what they describe as a number of significant cyber attacks that took place in Georgia last October. Now, these attacks went after websites attached to the government, to private business, and also to the media.
Yeah, let's just leave it there. That's your news, you see, in 2020. It's a propaganda machine. Let's go straight from a story about Russia and Syria bombing children and freezing children to death and eating babies and God knows what else, straight into a story that alleges back in October of last year, they're not very quick, are they, that Russia was cyber attacking the state of Georgia. Not the US state of Georgia, the country Georgia. Incredible. And all these clips today of babies in incubators in Idlib, malnourished and underfed, well, obviously malnourished, underfed, and cold and miserable looking babies reminded me, of course, and I know many of you will not know this or will have forgotten all about it. We'll remember back in 1990 when George H.W. Bush's administration, desperate to back Kuwait, desperate to invade Iraq, brought a young girl called Naira to testify before Congress. Naira told a pack of fucking lies about after the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait. She said she had witnessed Iraqi soldiers taking babies out of incubators, throwing them on the ground and leaving them to die. Eventually, even the US State Department had to acknowledge this was absolute horse manure. See, the thing about these people, I think David Icke has said this in the past in his all-day presentations. They're not very clever, these people. They repeat the same things, they tell the same stories year in, year out, decade in, decade out. Babies in incubators in Syria today, babies being thrown out of incubators in Kuwait by the Iraqi army back in 1989-1990, which of course never happened. Brilliant, huh? What about the warnings today about civilian deaths? Syrians are going to die in great numbers. The Russians and the Syrians are circling Idlib to try and get rid of the last ISIL strongholds, to get rid of the last terrorists. Civilians are going to die, we're being told. Well, what about the UK government's own report into the collapse of Libya? The Foreign Affairs Committee, Crispin Blunt, published a report on the Libya debacle, which said that David Cameron's coalition government, he was in coalition with the Lib Dems, basically told a pack of lies to the British people, exaggerating the threat to civilians from Gaddafi's government, and lying about the rebels and trying to keep hidden the fact that the rebels in Libya weren't really rebels, but were in fact Islamist jihadi fucking head choppers. Wow. Wow, that was in 2011 in Libya. Today we're being told that moderate rebels in Syria need to be backed by Western forces to help overthrow the dictator Bashar. Moderate rebels. Back in 2015, the UK government admitted, the Foreign Affairs Committee, which is the government by proxy, it is the government, admitted that lies were told in Libya about the threat to civilians from Gaddafi, and that lies were told about the rebels. That they weren't really rebels, they were Islamist jihadi nutcases. But we've got short memories. Let's have a ceasefire. Let's wait for it. David Miliband today says, let's get some forces in there. Let's get NATO in there. Okay, Tobias Elwood MP, lots of Conservative Party MPs today saying, let's get NATO in there to create a buffer to prevent the the Russian and Syrian troops from attacking the terrorists in Idlib to protect civilians. Let's get a buffer in there, maybe a no-fly zone, so that we can get humanitarian aid to the people in Idlib. You know what humanitarian aid really is? Weapons. It's not dried food in massive parcels. That's what they'll show you on the television. They'll show you dried food being thrown off of lorries, freeze-dried food. They'll show you bread. They'll show you freeze-dried milk, powdered milk, eggs, and all the rest of it. But what the ceasefire or the no-fly zone is meant to give them the opportunity to do is to arm the fucking head-chopping lunatics in Idlib that were sent into the country by Israel, by the Saudis, by the French, by the British and by the Americans to begin with back in 2009. 29 and a half minutes past the hour. This is the Richie Allen Radio Show. Good to be with you. Right, Gary Barlow on the Richie Allen Radio Show, 27 minutes to the top of the air. Thursday's programme, the 20th of February. That's the one. I had to look there. The 20th of February, 2020. That's the one. I had to look at that as well. Welcome back live on Fab Radio 2 in the great city of Manchester. Multiple platforms around the world. Of course, the programme is archived on iTunes, Spotify, through Podomatic.com. And, well, I'm looking forward to speaking with my guest this hour, the first time he's appeared on this programme. Before we welcome him to these shores, to this parish, let me tell you something. I've been in contact with a man called Larry Johnson. Now, Larry is a former NFL player. He played for the Kansas City Chiefs, I think. I wouldn't be the biggest expert now on gridiron. But he's a very interesting guy, former running back. And Larry I was introduced to him because of a tweet that he posted about the first basketball game at the Staples Center, which I think is where the LA Lakers play, after the death of Kobe Bryant. Now, I mentioned earlier, you know this, Kobe Bryant, one of the most famous athletes, not just in the United States, but in the world in the last 25, 30 years, hugely successful basketball star. And of course, on January 26th, I believe, he died in a helicopter crash, tragically died, along with his daughter and several other people. They were travelling in Los Angeles. So Larry Johnson tweeted about the tribute to Kobe Bryant and focused on hand gestures and signals made by the superstar LeBron James. And I was very interested in that, because over the years, of course, friends of mine like Jim Mars, rest in peace, Jim, David Icke, of course, Jordan Maxwell, they've written extensively about the occult and about secret societies and Freemasonry. And it must be said, if you do look at the video, it's pretty extraordinary what LeBron is doing with his hands. It doesn't look coincidental to me, making the pyramid gesture, making the 666 sign with his thumb and four fingers. Right? I'm very interested in this. So I was introduced to my guest, and I'm excited to have him on. He's a popular radio host and the moderator of Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. He's based in New York City. He's got a very healthy audience and has a very interesting show, which is broadcast through the iHeart Radio Network and the iHeart Media Group. And I will, of course, put some links on Twitter and on Facebook later on as to where you can find his show if you haven't come across it before. Let's welcome to the programme, live from New York City, the Bishop himself, Larry Gaters. Larry, you are very welcome to this parish. How are you?
Thank you so much, Brother Richie. It is a great honor to be on your show for the very first time here in this 2020 year. And I am so honored and I'm so excited to be a part of this global platform. And I've been a big fan of yours for many, many years. So we're really excited to unpack this Kobe Bryant shadow conspiracy today.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks for saying that. I think you mean like most people, some of the guests who come on this program, they've got very interesting things to say. And many of the guests who've been on in the past, the ones I've mentioned, they share your interest in this particular subject. You're interested in philosophy and spirituality, in religion and Christianity. Luciferianism and Satanism becoming more of a thing on this program in the last couple of years because of things that we're learning about satanic rituals, satanic paedophilia, which is a big thing, as we know. We can get into some of that a bit later on. Now, tell us about your interest in the death of Kobe Bryant. I mean, what a superstar, Larry. You might think in New York City. Then again, I think you've got your finger on the pulse as to what goes on around the world. So you'll probably know that the NBA is a very successful export. It's very big in the UK and in Ireland, where I come from. So Kobe's a very big star, and he died very young in this helicopter crash. And I suppose most people would look at it and think, what a tragic thing. Kobe's dead, young daughter, left a family behind. It's a terrible thing, which it is. But you've been looking into it, not just since he died, but even before he died, people like Kobe. And there's a lot more to people like Kobe than meets the eye. Over to you. There's more going on with these very big, powerful sportsmen and women and celebrities than we maybe understand, Larry.
Yes, we have to start with a Black secret society that very few people even know about, Brother Richie, and that is the Black Boule secret society that began its inception on the 15th of May in 1904 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which is the hometown of Kobe Bryant, which is also the city and the state that LeBron James passed Kobe Bryant for third on the all-time NBA scoring list. Wow. The night before Kobe died. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. So in order for us to understand the foreground of why Kobe Bryant died concerning through this shadow conspiracy, we have to lay the foundation, Brother Allen, going back into the background of this sinister Black secret society called the Boule, capital B-O-U-L, apostrophe E, which means Sigma Pi Phi in the Greek alphabet. And so then the Boules are the advisors to the king. The Boules, Brother Allen, are the protectors of what we call the crab barrel system. Now, what is the crab barrel system? It is a global system, my brother, that represents not only the African-centric diaspora, but all people of all ethnicities who are placed in this global round table, this global system called the crab barrel system. And then the masters of the crab barrel, who not only elect certain Black people to come out of the barrel, but they also select certain African-Americans like a Kobe Bryant, like a LeBron James, that has that Boule insignia or tattooed on his chest. And of course, your listeners can go to Google Images and look at that Boule logo that's on the chest of Kobe Bryant. So then the Boule Secret Society, in the book entitled The History of Sigma Pi Phi, by Dr. Charles H. Wesley. He talks about on page 146 that there is a Black secret organization called the Divine Nine, which is the National Pan-Hellenic Council, okay, that was started and subsidized with both Rothschild and Rockefeller money. So you have nine Greek Black secret societies, my friend, who are under the umbrella of what we call the Boule Secret Society. And these nine black organizations, from Alpha Phi Alpha to Iota Phi Theta, here in the United States. Now, if you remember specifically the Knights of the Round Table, now, Dr. Charles Wesley, quickly, before we get to Kobe, in the history of Sigma Pi Phi on page 146, he talks about the Knights of the Round Table and that it is the Boule Seeker Society that are assigned in design as the protectors of the Knights of the Round Table, that they are anywhere from 9 knights up until 150 knights. But 9 knights represent 9 of the 13 families, Brother Richie, that control 99% of the world's wealth. I'm talking about the Rothschilds, whose real name is the Bauer family, the Oppenheimers, the Warburgs, the Rockefellers, the John Jacob Astor dynasty, who are nothing more than Khazarian Jews. I'm not anti-Semitic, but I'm just exposing the truth here today. The Bilderbergers, the Habsburgs, the Sassoon dynasty. Now, remember, many centuries later, there was a billionaire hairstylist by the name of Vidal Sassoon, whose phrase was, "If you look good, we don't look good." But his history going back to the 16th, 17th, 1800s to the Sassoon dynasty, they were behind the global opium trade and the opium wars in China from 1839 to 1860. And of course, the 9th Illuminati family is the Li dynasty, capital L, capital I, who were the Illuminati family that allowed the Sassoon dynasty to bring in the opium drug trade into Indochina. Okay. So this is the Knights of the Round Table, the 9 who control 99% well. But Brother Richie, more specifically important, you have 9 Black Greek letter seeker societies who in which each and every Black Greek letter seeker society is assigned to protect a knight on this global round table that we call the Luciferian system. Now, each and every Black Boule, they don't own the table, my friend. They are just the protectors of the table. They don't own the crab barrel. They are just the protectors of the crab barrel.
This is
understand what Kobe Bryant was in. Yeah.
Let me jump in.
Yeah. So
let me jump in briefly there, Larry. First of all, yep. there is a little bit of a problem with the line. I do have a landline number for you. I might call the number because there is a little bit of a delay and you are breaking up a little bit. It's not your fault. It happens sometimes on Skype. So what I might do is I've got a number for you that's attached to your Skype. So I might call that if that's okay with you. We've got loads of time.
Well, yeah, that's going to be pretty hard because where I'm located. So can you guys hear me clearly now?
I'll tell you what I'm going to disconnect and call you back again on Skype. Sometimes it clears out the poor signal. This is fascinating stuff, this. Have you heard what he's been saying there, Larry Gators? He's basically said that there's a black secret society called the Black Boules, and it's been around for just under 100 years. And there are basically 9 chapters of it, the Divine 9. And it's their job, basically, to guard or defend the system, the financial elites that we often talk about on this program. Now, I've got to tell you, until I came across Larry, I've never come across this information before. Larry is an African-American himself. So I'm fascinated by this. You have no idea how fascinated I am by this, and I know you are as well. If you've got questions, tweet them. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter, at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. I know you'll have questions, and we will have Larry for the best part of another hour. So, Larry,
yes,
I hope that has cleared out the poor signal there. I think it probably will. I'm going to keep all my fingers crossed. Now, I want to ask you this. Let me just briefly paraphrase what you've told me there, because I've never heard this before. You might think I'm a very sheltered presenter, but I've never come across this before. The Illuminati and the financial ruling elites, the families that you mentioned, Oppenheimer, Schiff, Warburg, Rothschild, of course, the royal families of Europe and the power they wielded, the bloodlines. I am as familiar with those stories as anybody else, and I'm fascinated by them. But I think that what you've told me in a nutshell, and you've explained it very well, by the way, is that there are black secret societies. There is one umbrella group, the Black Boulets. There is a Divine Nine secret societies of black men, presumably, that are there to guard, to stand as a kind of a watchdog for the financial ruling elites that you mentioned. Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely, Brother Richie. And again, there were nine African-American scholars whom John D. Rockefeller coined the Talented Tenth. And he gave that moniker, the Talented Tenth, to Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois, who was a sellout here in America, because Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois was responsible of bringing in the genocide of black people going back to 1929 through Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood. So the Boulay Sicker Society was created by nine African-American individuals who then, some years later, Brother Richie, created the Divine Nine, the Pan-Black Hellenic Greek Letter Societies. That each of the nine would protect each of the Knights of the Round Table, from the Rothschild dynasty to the Li dynasty in China, who may be responsible for the coronavirus. And we can talk about that later.
Definitely. So, now, why, Larry, first of all, for people just joining us, you've gotten home from work. It's nearly 12 minutes to 6. Thursday's program, The Richie Allen Show Live. Larry Gators is the host of a very popular radio show out of New York City on the iHeartRadio network. It's the Global Spiritual Revolution Radio and Media Group. He presents a very interesting show, very personable, got a lot of interesting information. Good to have Larry on the program today. Why were black people chosen then to work as gatekeepers? Why were the Divine Nine themselves chosen to set up the Black Boulay Secret Society? Why was it important that blacks would be used?
Because the shadow government, the deep state, not only here in the United States, but throughout the Western Hemisphere, did not want, just like what J. Edgar Hoover said in the 1930s, the Knights of the Round Table did not want there to be a black messiah. And that's why Malcolm X was assassinated, Dr. Martin Luther King. So then what the system did was to create a modern day sophisticated Jim Crow system. Now, I'm a black conservative. I don't teach victimhood.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, Brother Richie, the system was so afraid to allow the black diaspora to be independent from the plantation of what we call the Luciferian secret societies. So they're using people like Jay-Z and Beyonce and Kobe and LeBron and Barack Obama. And they're using these black boules. And mind you, my brother, there are 5,000 members throughout the United States, throughout the Caribbean, and in your neck of the woods throughout the UK. These people, black men and women, are chosen to protect the system so that the system can bloodsuck the other 99%. So to answer your question specifically, they were chosen out of fear so that the system can be protected. So the Divine Nine, the Pan-Hellenic Council of Black Greek Letters Secret Societies, doctors, lawyers, judges, dentists, they are established, my friend, to protect the system.
Amazing. Now, Larry, let me jump in. This is amazing stuff. So we know, I mean, I'm a history graduate. We know that black men and women and children in numbers that we can't even imagine were forcibly taken from Africa and brought to the Caribbean. Yes. They were brought to the United States. They were brought to the UK. And somewhere along the line, the Hidden Hand were terrified that because these black... I'm not trying to appease you when I say this. I believe this. I believe that those people were incredibly spiritual. They were incredibly, you know, incredibly religious. They believed in the divine, these black men and women that were taken from their country. And you believe, Larry, that the establishment, the real Hidden Hand, was terrified that because of these people, because of their closeness to God, because of their spirituality, that amongst these black people that were kidnapped, that a leader would emerge and would take on the global financial elite network. That's what you mean.
That is a perfect point you just made, Brother Richie. Wow. The system is so afraid of the potential power of a spiritual people. So then this Divine Nine, each of the Black Greek Letter Seeker Societies is assigned a knight of the King Arthur's system of the Luciferian Round Table. Now King Arthur represents one of the seven personalities of Lucifer. Again, King Arthur is one of the seven personalities of Lucifer, from whence we get the term Lucifer. Yeah. Now, if you take the word Lucifer and spell it backwards from right to left, then you get a Latin word, recycle, which means the recycling of fecal matter. That represents the DNA of the system. When we talk about Lucifer, Satan, devil, well, the first letters of Lucifer, Satan, and devil is LSD, MK Ultra, 1953. So then it brings us up to Kobe Bryant. Now, Kobe Bryant was drafted out of high school in 1996 as the 13th pick. Now, that number 13 is very critical because it represents the first 13 levels of the global Masonic order. On the back of the $1 bill, the U.S. dollar bill, it has a pyramid from where we get the term paramine or paradigm.
Yeah.
There are 13 steps. Now, Kobe's father, Joe Bryant, played for the Philadelphia 76ers, and that logo has 13 stars. Now, we come to the death of Kobe Bryant. Now, on the 24th of January, last month, Friday, 2 days before Kobe's death, the stock share for his company, the Bryant Stable Mutual Fund, drastically dropped 2 days before Kobe's death. The day after Kobe's death, on the 27th of January, the stock quadrupled. Just like someone in 9/11 made a killing, somebody knew Kobe Bean Bryant was going to die. So Kobe Bryant was riding in what we call a Sikorsky S-76B. Now, if you get a chance, my brother, go to Wikipedia and type in Igor, capital I-G-O-R, Sikorsky, okay? His bloodline goes back to the Russian occultic court of Peter the Great, back to the 1600s. Now, that second photo down on Igor Sikorsky's Wikipedia page, it shows a photo of a young Igor Sikorsky, who was the founder of the helicopter that Kobe died in. Now, that second photo down on Wikipedia, it shows a 1914 picture of Igor Sikorsky with his right hand in his jacket pocket. And you talked about that term a few minutes ago, my friend, the hidden hand. So that right hand is inside of the jacket of Igor Sikorsky in 1914 with his thumb and his pinky outside of the jacket. That represents the horn of Lucifer.
Yeah.
Now, you see, so then, in order to dissect what happened to Kobe, we got to go back to the origination of not only the Black Boule Seeker Society, the Knights of the Round Table, protected by the Black Illuminati, the Boules, and now this Igor Sikorsky, who was a 33rd degree Mason in the Russian and Soviet court of Peter the Great. As we move forward here, man, this gets really deep now. Now we come to Kobe Bryant, the author. Kobe Bryant writes several books going back to 2019. His first book is called Epoca, The Tree of Ecroft, capital E-P-O-C-A. Now, if you take that word, Epoca, and then write it backwards from right to left, because Hebrew is written from right to left, then we get a name of a female secret society out of Spain called Ocope, capital C-O-P-E, whose founder was a female Satanist by the name of Concepcion Arenal, capital A-R-E-N-A-L. On Wikipedia, if you type in her name, capital C-O-N-C-E-P-C-I-O-N, Areno, capital A-R-E-N-A, it will show her left hand inside of her jacket pocket, meaning that she is a 33rd degree Mason within the feminist Seeker Society called Ocope. And she was also a practitioner of a religion called Santeria. Kobe Bryant's wife, Vanessa Bryant, her family is heavily involved in Santeria. So I'm dissecting this, my brother, because Kobe is a part of what we call a Holy One system. So Holy One, the wand of a witch, you make a wand on out of wood. This is where we get the term Hollywood. So Hollywood has now become a part of the life of Kobe Bean Bryant. Now, as we move forward here, the company that owned the Sikorsky 76B chopper that Kobe died in is a company by the name of Island Express Holding Corporation, Brother Richie, in Van Nuys, California, which is owned by Lockheed Martin, which is owned by George Soros. George Soros owns most of the shares in both Lockheed Martin and the Island Express Holding Corporation. The land called Calabasas is the 33rd congressional district in California. There is that word, that number, 33. No African American or African Caribbean or African British person is allowed to become a 33rd and one-half degree Mason. They can only go up to 33. So the land, the spot that Kobe died on in that mountain region in Calabasas, that land is owned by a Seeker Society foundation called the Open Society. Who owns the Open Society? George Soros.
George Soros, yeah, yeah.
You see, so you have to, and my question is, what did Kobe know, and why did Kobe have to die in order for him to be silenced? Now, going back here in 2013, he creates his own studio, Brother Richie, called the Granity Studio. That term granity is also a part of global occultism. So Kobe Bryant, his Kobe spelled from right to left, reveals the name of a demon in Greek and Persian mythology, Ebok. It means the spirit that is sacrificed. So every 8th and 24th month of every 2 years, according to the satanic calendar of the 26th of each month, someone has to be sacrificed. Why the number 8 and why the number 24? Kobe Bryant's jersey, the first few years of his professional career was the number 8. It represents the beginning of a new beginning, or what we call Ouroboros, a figure 8 serpent eating its own tail. After his 2003 rape allegation in July 2003, then until his retirement in 2016, his number becomes the number 24. There are 24 letters in the Greek alphabet. So then from 8 plus 24 equals the first 32 degrees within the Masonic order. So in July of 2003, Kobe is sent to Edwards, Colorado, near Eagle, Colorado, to have a knee surgery done. The knee surgeon, his name was Dr. Richard Stebbin. He is a part of Phi Beta Kappa. Phi Beta Kappa is the educational and the legal arm of the deep state. While not just Phi Beta Kappa, but Kappa Beta Phi is the financial Wall Street faction of the global deep state. So Kobe is in a world of trouble. Now, mind you, his doctor is Phi Beta Kappa. Kobe wanted to stay near a hotel near the doctor's office, but his doctor instructed him, here's a conspiracy, to go some miles away east to the lodge and spa at Cordelia in Eagle, Colorado. He meets a young lady by the name of Caitlin Faber, okay, whose family is also Phi Beta Kappa. She's 19 years old, working at the front desk, and she is asking Kobe, can she give him a tour? That wasn't her job, Richie. So then she goes to his room. One thing leads to another. She says, wait a minute now. I want money, okay? Kobe says no. She leaves the room. She doesn't call the police or the sheriff's department. She doesn't even go home. She goes to the house of her boyfriend and has sex, and then goes home the next day and cries rape. Now, again, if Kobe committed a crime, he should have went to prison. I don't have a problem with that. But from that point, 2003 forward, Richie, Kobe Bryant's life is transformed. Now, the question is, who was his lawyer? His lawyer, her name was Pamela Mackey. Kobe didn't choose her. All right, Dr. Jerry Buss, the former owner, the late Dr. Jerry Buss of the Los Angeles Lakers, didn't choose Pamela Mackey. It was Kobe's knee surgeon, Dr. Richard Stedman, Phi Beta Kappa, chose this woman, Pamela Mackey. She's also Phi Beta Kappa, to legally represent Kobe Bryant. Now, a year later, September 2014, the charges are dropped, money is exchanged. So we have to understand that the powers that got Kobe out of this mess was the same powers, Brother Richie, that took him out. So Kobe Bryant, a shadow conspiracy, was nothing more than a Luciferian project. So then he goes through this dark metamorphosis called the Black Mamba, just like Beyonce becomes Sasha Fierce, which is a female demon. So you have to understand, my brother, that throughout Hollywood, they have to go through this homosexual, lesbian, and bestiality initiation rite in order to go to the next level. So then, post 2003,
how do you know that? Hang on, Larry. Hold that thought for a minute, because I've let you go on a bit there because I'm fascinated listening to you. But I want to just summarize for a minute where we are, and yes. then I want to take you up on the rituals that you've just begun to describe. You said that before these stars can get to the next level, they've got to go through these rituals or rites of passage. So before we get into that, I want to remind our listeners, we've got Bishop Larry Gaiters live on the radio today from New York City. Larry is the host and moderator of Global Spiritual Revolution Radio, which is part of the iHeartRadio network. He's got a really interesting and very popular radio show in New York City. And we're talking about the late Kobe Bryant, who died in a helicopter crash on the 26th of January, which is about, around 4 weeks or so ago. Now, we got into talking about why Larry believes, and this is really interesting, I've not heard this before, Larry believes that there is a black secret society called the Black Boulay Secret Society, and it was set up by nine prominent black individuals, the Divine Nine, and that this black secret society, which encompasses many modern-day powerful, prominent black men and women, is actually a gatekeeper or a kind of a guard for the real ruling elites of the planet. And we talked about how Larry believes this black secret society was set up by the Rockefellers because there was a fear that because Africans were stolen, were kidnapped and chained, taken to the US and taken elsewhere, because these were very deeply spiritual people, intelligent people, you know, God-fearing people, religious people, that eventually a messiah-type figure might emerge from the enslaved black men and women and families and communities, and that messiah might take on the financial global ruling elites and the royal families. And to prevent that, Larry believes that the black secret societies were set up, and he's been talking about those. And Larry has explained how he believes that Kobe Bryant was somehow ensnared in these black secret societies. In fact, I think, Larry, you talked earlier on about a tattoo, and I have looked online. I've seen this tattoo. I believe LeBron James, superstar, has the same tattoo. And Larry's been explaining to us why he thinks that Kobe Bryant might have been, in fact, murdered. And he's been connecting dots here. He's been linking Kobe to various Masonic figures and other secret society figures, including his former surgeon, his lawyer, and it really is compelling stuff. This is compelling. I'm not patronising Larry. I'm fascinated by it. But before we go on to talk about Beyonce and Kobe and this ritual that you believe happens before they make the next leap to, you know, super, super, global superstardom, I want to take you back to something you said earlier on. You said that Kobe's company was doing poorly, or his main business interest wasn't doing very well, but the shares quadrupled in price in the days after his death. And I think you said, Larry, that there is evidence that somebody might have had some put options. Somebody might have known and made a killing on the Kobe's company, on the shares going up. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Because that sounds like it could be real evidence that somebody knew he was going to die.
The Security Exchange Commission, according to the New York Times, had put out an article the week after Kobe's death that they are presently investigating the company that Kobe and another man, and this, I'm so glad that you asked me that question, my friend, that which takes me to a character that whose past is like a ghost. His name is Jeffrey Stibel, okay? Capital S-T-I-B-E-L. Again, capital S-T-I-B-E-L. Now, Jeffrey Stibel, if you type in his net worth, it doesn't come up. Kobe Bryant's net worth comes up. Why is that? So then this Jeffrey Stibel, you know, was introduced to Kobe Bryant. So then the 2 days before Kobe's death, the shares of Bryant Stibel, which is a venture capitalist hedge fund out of Hollywood connected to Wall Street, went drastically down, okay? Then a day after Kobe's death, that stock quadrupled, just like 9/11. So in other words, I'm not trying to connect anything, but it is so suspicious, as if someone had predictive, and what we call this predictive programming, okay? Right. And so as if someone knew that Kobe was going to die. Now, mind you, my friend, Kobe and this Jeff Steinbull put in $100 million, a seed offering, to create this Bryant Stiebel mutual fund. And I have to say this as well, my friend. Jeff Steinbull is on the advisory board of a foundation called Lifeboat Foundation. Lifeboat Foundation that was created by one of his best friends, Eric Klein. Guess who else sat on that board before his death? Jeffrey Epstein. So Jeff Steinbull knew Jeffrey Epstein. Also, Jeff Steinbull and Jeffrey Epstein sat on another board called the Mind, Brain, and Behavior Advisory Committee at Harvard University, which is connected to the CIA's program of the Brain Initiative under the Obama administration in 2013.
These are Sorry, Larry. These are not loose connections. These are pretty strong connections, aren't they? I mean, Colby was obviously very, very close to this guy, Steibel. Steibel was obviously very close to Jeffrey Epstein. I watched your broadcast on this, and I was checking all these details as you were going along, trying to catch you up, trying to catch you out there, Larry, trying to trip you up there. But I couldn't do it. The connections you were making are genuine. So this is really interesting information. Colby is really only one step away from Jeffrey Epstein. And you're looking into reasons why Kobe Bryant might have met an untimely end. Maybe Kobe knew something about Jeffrey Epstein, maybe.
See, and that's the thing. What did Kobe know? When did he know? And to whom was Kobe Bryant submitted to? In other words, Kobe Bryant was in way over his head. So then the deep state used him. Now, mind you, this Jeffrey Steinbull is also the chairman of a foundation called the Brain Gate, which is partnered with Stanford University's CIA undergraduate program in psychology. Now, remember the case where the Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh was accused, right, by Christine Blasey Ford.
Yeah.
Blasey Ford is, or maybe she's not anymore, a professor in the CIA program of their psychology program at Stanford University. So Jeffrey Steinbull is connected to that program. And this Christine Blasey Ford's father, okay, Round Blasey II, ran three CIA companies. And we'll get back to Kobe in a minute. So Christine Blasey Ford's father, Ralph Blasey II, ran Redcoats Incorporated, Data Watch, and the Admiral Security Systems in the same building where Fusion GPS was located in D.C. Fusion GPS tried to bring down President Trump with this fake Russian dossier. And also, then you have Ralph Blasey III, the son of Ralph Blasey II. Ralph Blasey III is the brother of Christine Blasey Ford. So the third was an attorney with a law firm called Baker Hostetler that was also located in the same building as Fusion GPS, all connected to Jeffrey Steinbull. Okay? So then Jeffrey Steinbull is introduced to Kobe Bryant. Why did Kobe Bryant not investigate the past of Jeffrey Steinbull? Jeffrey Steinbull is under indictment from over 35,000 people because of a Ponzi scheme, okay, that he's involved in. Wait a minute now. Why would Kobe?
Why wouldn't you find out? Why wouldn't you find out? This is great. Why wouldn't you find out? I'll tell you what I think you've proved, because I've got to be objective here. I've got to be neutral. I think what you've proved. Now, I don't know if you've proved that Kobe was murdered, but you're making a very interesting case, because I think what you have proved is that Kobe had what must be seen, I think, as very unnatural associations. He was surrounded by people who were working for very powerful think tanks, people who were involved in very high highbrow think tanks, yes, people who were involved in financial, very in very high finance, Ponzi schemes, as you said. He was definitely surrounded by people who had more than tenuous links. In fact, they had strong links to the intelligence community. There's no doubt about that. That's pretty unusual for him to be surrounded by so many people with, you know, secret society links, high finance links, think tank links, government links, and of course intelligence agency. That is bizarre. Nobody would have known anything about that. I don't. I certainly knew nothing about that until he died and until I saw the Larry Johnson video, until I went into your stuff. And can I just, because it's 17 minutes past the hour, we can go for another half an hour if we need be. We've got plenty of time. Can I just stay with this notion of very, very, very prominent black celebrities, black politicians, and how they might be linked to this old black secret society, which is a gatekeeper for the financial ruling elites. I'm fascinated by this. You know, you mentioned, you know, Kobe there, LeBron James. When I watched LeBron James' hand gestures at the Kobe memorial tribute at the Staples Center, I have to say, Larry, I do try and keep a little bit of healthy skepticism. Even me, who tries to be neutral, what LeBron James was doing, it wasn't natural.
It's not.
I've looked at it 100 times, and I have to try and be skeptical. I've got to try and argue with you. I'm supposed to be, you know, arguing with you and saying, come on, Larry, this is crazy. You know, and maybe I should do a bit more of that. But he was making all of these signs in the same body movement. What is that? What's going on with that? Who is he communicating with?
Kobe Bryant along with LeBron James. Now, LeBron James had this ritual. He started this in Cleveland, went to Miami, okay, and now in Los Angeles. And that ritual is called a witch's mark powder ritual. A witch's mark powder ritual. So he'll get some hand powder, okay, and then he'll just throw it up in the air and kiss the. In other words, that is a high Luciferian boule symbol of kissing what he calls the gods or the demons of the atmosphere. So it also represents in medieval demonology, going back to the 1300s, the system of casting a spell upon certain people. So then LeBron James, okay, they will take him out to, you see, you have to understand, brother, that the higher that one goes, into the financial bracket, just like the rappers. And I'm so glad that you asked me that question just a minute ago. In order for a rapper to get into the game of the Holly Wand, made out of Hollywood, Wand Witch, that male rapper has to sleep with another man. That female rapper has to sleep with another woman. This is a part of what we call the dark arts. So then this is also a part of a word that is used here in Black America. It's called buck breaking, capital B-U-C-K, breaking. Now, buck breaking, Brother Richie, goes back into the 1600s by a slave owner by the name of Willie Lynch. Willie Lynch wrote a letter to the Southern plantation owners throughout the South, going back as early as the 1600s and 1700s, how to divide the dark skin from the light skin, the young from the old, the rich from the poor later on. So buck breaking, those slaves that they could not control were sent to the Caribbean, to Jamaica, to Cuba, to St. Martinique. So they would strip the male or the female slave and then put them face chest first on the ground, and the male slave master would rape the black male, or the female slave master would rape the female slave. Now, Kobe Bryant was beginning to be buck broken post Eagle Colorado in 2003. But I believe in the end, Kobe did not want to be buck broken. LeBron James is buck broken, all right? Gayle King, who is also a boule of CBS, that was a week or two ago, she was interviewing Lisa Leslie. And instead of talking about the good things that Kobe did, Gayle King and her lover, Oprah Winfrey, were trashing the legacy of a black man. This is what the Boulés do. They destroy their own, okay? So getting back to buck breaking, Dwyane Wade, the former NBA player, was on the Ellen DeGeneres or Degenerate show and was saying that his daughter was transgendering into a male. Dwyane Wade was buck broken. So every Boulé who is buck broken or sexually initiated, every black person on that level, Richie, is a part of what we call the Freemasonic Order of Prince Hall Masons. They are Prince Hall Masons, which is the black section of what we call the Skulls and Bones. Now, spiritually, now I'm going to get deep here now. The Boulé Seeker Society, though the Boulés were created many years after the Skulls and Bones, Yale University, but spiritually, the Boulés are the first demonic son of Baphomet. Baphomet represents the transgender initiation process, half male, half female, with a three-section hand sign, okay, which also Adolf Hitler in the Third Reich had this three-section hand sign, which represents 666. So the Boulés are created to protect the system of Baphomet. Let me say it one more time. The Boulés are created to protect the system of Baphomet. Kobe Bryant was a Prince Hall Mason. Beyonce, she's a witch. Oprah Winfrey is a witch, okay? P. Diddy, okay? Why is it that black people throughout, not just America, but throughout the black diaspora, we are the only group of people who don't know who we are? We know what we are, but we don't know who we are. So we're worshiping people like 50 Cent, Quarter, Nickel, Penny, Ice-T, Ice Cube, Ice Tray, Snoop Dogg, Dog This, Dog That, Pitbull, because black people are slaves in the Hollywood system. And mind you, I'm getting an email saying, Bishop, where did the Prince Hall system come from? It came from a 33rd degree Mason by the name of Prince Hall, who was born in 1807 and died many years later. Okay, he was a part of the creation of Prince Hall. Now, the term Hall in Coptic means muse. Wait a minute now, that sounds familiar. So Kobe Bryant, many years later, he talks about light muses and dark muses. Now, if you go to witchesofthecraft.com or just type in one definition of a muse, capital M-U-S-E, and this is connected to your question as to why LeBron has this ritual. So then Kobe talks about on a video on YouTube where he's talking to a stuffed snake mamba that you can activate your light muse or your dark muse. The term muse is an Egyptian term meaning how to embrace your inner darkness or how to contact the dark world. Why is Kobe Bryant involved in dark muses and light muses? In other words, Kobe Bryant becomes a warlock. So a warlock is a male witch, and a witch is a female warlock. So Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, and every NBA player who is assigned a jersey number, and that number is connected to the occult. This is heavy, brother. So
you know what, Larry? Let me just jump in. The thing about you is it's really fascinating to me. You are obviously very bright, so you know that when people hear this, now I love talking about this, not because I don't find it entertaining, I don't. I find it incredibly interesting. I don't sit here thinking, oh, this is a great yarn. I don't think like that. I'm fascinated by it because, you know, there was a time when I would have been very dogmatic, very, I suppose, you know, disinclined to want to listen to this type of thing because I would have thought that it was silly, it was fanciful. But I've seen quite a few things over the years that have made me change my mind, and I'm very interested in it. And again, I wouldn't patronise you. I wouldn't dream of it. But you are aware that, I think it's fair to say, when the vast majority of people hear this stuff, it either goes right over their head or they think, this is crazy. These guys are just basketball players. They act out because they're given a lot of money. And if you give any young man or any young woman a lot of money, you know, will act out, will start doing strange things. And maybe if you deify, because Kobe Bryant and LeBron James, superstars, you know, we've got Cristiano Ronaldo in Europe, one of the greatest soccer players that ever lived, Lionel Messi, genius soccer player, Neymar. When you bestow upon these young men all the money and all the riches and all the acclaim, and you kind of deify them, maybe that's the reason why they begin to act a bit strange. And maybe they have a kind of, I don't know, inner kind of a crisis of identity. Who am I? And maybe they start looking into the dark arts or the occult. So what I'm saying is, I think some of our listeners might be thinking, Richie, this is compelling stuff by Bishop Larry, but at the same time, maybe these young people are just being turned weird, maybe, by the deification of them. You know what I mean, Larry? I'm not saying I don't believe what you're saying. I take it all, you know, I take it all under advisement. I listen carefully. I'm very respectful. But some of our listeners will think, this can't be happening, they'll think.
See, and that's the thing. See, that, and I thank God for your honesty. This information is so mind-blowing and so mind-wrecking that the human mind does not want to comprehend this global matrix Luciferian system. Okay, and that's why there is a weapon called the weapon of mass distraction. We would rather keep up with the Kardashians than for our minds and our consciousness to be awakened.
Yeah.
And so this Kobe Bryant shadow conspiracy, this is where the deep state, the Luciferian system wants not just America to be and England, but throughout the world. So then, if you're, and I'm going to reveal some words that's going to blow your mind. Now, the word Negro, and this is a term that's in Black America, Negro, okay, that comes from the Greek word necro, capital N-E-C-R-O, which means necromancy or having sex with the dead body. So there is a demonic psyop in Black America where they call each other the N-word. The baggy jeans that these young people wear, that came from the creation from two homosexual men in a Joliet, Illinois prison in the 1970s, where they created the baggy jean, my friend, to distinguish who their homosexual lover was and who was buck broken, okay? So you take the word sagging, which is spelled S-A-W-G-I-N, spell it backwards, then you get the word N-I-G-G-A-S. It's a demonic psyop. Or the word sagging with the G at the end, turn that around, then you get the word G, then N-I-G-G-A-S. This is the global psychological psyop of a people who don't know who they are.
Don't know who they are. And you mentioned that. And in the future, because I'm going to get you back on in the future to talk. We're not going anywhere. We've got another 15 minutes. I'm going to get you back on in the future to talk more about that. But let's stay with this notion that powerful Black men and women are either consciously or subconsciously connected to a Black secret society that acts as a gatekeeper for the financial ruling elites, the bloodlines, the royal families. I'm fascinated. Yeah, please believe me, Bishop Larry Gators, when I tell you that I am genuinely fascinated and respectful of this. I don't know what to make of it, but I'm very respectful of it. Right now, let's stay with this notion that the prominent Black men and women. A friend of mine has asked me to put to you. She said, when Kanye West famously had an on-stage meltdown some years back, well, not really some years, only a couple of years back, at a concert when it appeared that he seemed to be trying to warn people about you know where he was, the state of mind. The question is, do we see incidences where prominent black superstars do try and cry for help and say, hey, look over here, something is not right? Was that what was going on with Kanye West, do you think?
Absolutely. Great question by your listener. Absolutely. What Kanye West was doing, he became awakened. He left the global plantation of the Boule Seeker Society. He did not want to buck break anymore. And a lot of these rappers, as a side note, I'm going to get to your question in about 10 seconds. All of these rappers are wearing dresses on the stage, including Kanye West at one time. He's no longer wearing the dress. Why? Because these black men have become emasculated by the system, okay? By this shadow government, deep state system, in order to control first the black man and then to subdue the black woman. Because if you cut the head off, brother, that's the black man. And I'm not making this a black and white situation. So that if you cut the head off, the body, the woman will follow. So then, getting back to Kanye West, they thought, the Hollywood and the system thought, this man has lost his mind. Remember Dave Chappelle, the comedian?
Yeah.
He did not want to wear a dress. And this is what the Luciferian system wants black actors to do. You wear a dress. They want black women to act like they are a man. Dave Chappelle said no. And then they excommunicated him from Hollywood. And then they began to talk about Dave Chappelle like he was a dog, like he lost his mind. You see, brother, once black people begin to awaken, okay, once they leave the plantation because they don't want to buck break anymore and they don't want to goat ride. Now, that term goat riding, that's a part of the initiation process, not only through the Boule, but also through the Masonic order called the Golden Dawn or the Golden Centurion that began in Munich, Germany in 1840, which Kobe was a part of. They were practitioners of psychic surgery. Kobe Bryant got some knee surgeries, but back to your question. So you got Kanye West and Dave Chappelle who are awakening and leaving the plantation. Another actor, Isaiah Washington, okay, who was an actor on the television show Grey's Anatomy many years ago. They kicked him off. Why? Because he went back to his Christian conservative roots. I am a black conservative, okay? I am a fourth generation black conservative bishop. I am not on the plantation of the Democratic Party. And I want to say something else, Richie's going to blow your mind. White people, when we're talking about Kobe Bryant, a shadow conspiracy, white people did not create the KKK. I got everyone's attention now. White people did not create the Ku Klux Klan. There was a Zionist by the name of Benjamin P. Judah in 1865. With Rothschild money, created a secret society called the Ku Klux Klan. And he put as the face of the secret society, the KKK, a man by the name of Albert Pike, who was white. So white people who are listening, your generations, your posterity going backwards, they did not create the KKK. So this has been a lie, Brother Richie, that's been perpetuated by the Democrats here in the United States. So that's why they think Dave Chappelle is crazy and Kanye West. Now, remember the commercial years ago that Kanye had with Kobe. Kanye was near a helicopter, grabbing a rope at the bottom of the helicopter in this commercial. Your listeners can see it on YouTube. Kobe has a basketball on his right hand, and there's a time clock that goes down to 4.1 seconds. Then he lifts his head. Why 4.1? Kobe was 41 years old when he died. He came out of his last game against the Utah Jazz in April 2016 at 4.1 seconds. From the airport back on the 26th of last month, from John Wayne Airport to the location where he died is 41 miles. This is the mindset, the psyop of the global Luciferian deep state. And this is a reason why Kobe was assassinated. Now, mind you, I'm not blaming Jeffrey Stibel, okay, or Les Wexner, okay, or any of the deep state operatives that were around Kobe. But Kobe got himself involved into something that cost Kobe his life.
But you don't know what that is. I mean, we can speculate because you mentioned Stoibel's very close relationship with Epstein, at least a very close business relationship anyway. And obviously Kobe was shoulder to shoulder in business with Stoibel. So that's hugely interesting that. We've got probably 10 minutes left. So what I want to do is I want to kind of just talk about a couple of things in general. Just want to pick up on a couple of things that you mentioned, Larry. To remind our listeners, Larry Gators is live on the line from New York City. Larry's an African-American. He's a bishop and he moderates the... He's the host and moderator of the Global Spiritual Revolution radio program. It's broadcast by the iHeartRadio Network and it does have a very healthy audience and he does talk about a lot of very interesting things. He really does. I know that for some of you, some of the names that Larry has thrown out there in the last 25 minutes, I know that some of you are not familiar with some of these names. Dave Chappelle, I'm sure you're familiar with, but some of these other names you maybe not be familiar with. But the great thing about YouTube and the great thing about iTunes and Spotify is you can listen back and you can cross-reference some of these names. You talked there about Dave Chappelle refusing to wear the dress. You talked about the transgender agenda. That's fascinating. But what occurred to me, Larry, when you were bringing that up, when you were mentioning that, is that's not unique to black celebrities. This whole kind of agenda to confuse children around the world, to get children confused about their sexuality, number one, but also to get them confused about their gender, that's not unique to anybody. I mean, that's an agenda that's being rolled out by white celebrities, by white politicians, and by black politicians equally. When I'm listening to you talk about that, I'm just reminded constantly of how, I won't say how easy it was to divide us, but how we have become divided along the lines of sexual orientation, along the lines of religion, and of course, massively along the lines of race. And that's an area of research that I'm fascinated by, Larry. Will we ever be able to? And I think where we come from is very important. I think as a black man, it's very important that you understand where you came from. And I want to get into this with you in the future. Who you are as a black man, which is something you think has been deliberately confused. You've said this to me tonight over the last decades, over the last centuries. So I think it's only right and proper that we know where we came from. As an Irishman, where did I come from? You know, where did Ireland come from? I want to know about the Irish men and women who shaped my destiny, I suppose, for want of a better way of putting it. But ultimately, isn't it important that we discover, every one of us individually, that our identity, which is important on some level, is preventing us, is holding us back from getting together and collaborating and bringing down this crazy, evil, satanic cabal that ultimately oppresses every one of us, black, white, Hispanic, gay, straight, Christian, Muslim. We've all got the same enemy, Larry.
That's it. And that's by design. That's by design. I got another email from one of our listeners, and I'm also the host of the nationally syndicated The Life Radio Network, okay, 92.9 FM, 1460 AM here in New York City, New York. And you can go to Life Radio NJ, like in Nancy J, like in Jesus.com, LifeRadioNJ.com. And so this term here, someone else had, they're blown away by what you just said, this one of my listeners. There's a term that's also in the black community that's keeping us from knowing each other as a society, and this term is called bag overhead syndrome. Again, bag overhead syndrome. You can go to the Urban Dictionary and look that up. In other words, this is a a process in the Black community that started in slavery, going back to the 1600s by Willie Lynch, where the slave master would put burlap sacks over the heads of a mother and over the head of her son to force them to have sex with each other. And this is where we get the term mother F come from. You see, this is this is connected to the global psyop of what, not just what Black people are going through, like you said, Manica, all people are going through, but this bag overhead syndrome. There's a joke in the Black community here in the United States. If a woman is ugly, just put a bag over her face and have sex. Well, that was the process from the system to break psychologically, emotionally, not just the Black family, but families in a perpetual generational state. In other words, this is where the term mother F comes from. So your listeners, you have, if you're saying this term mother F, stop saying it, because the origination of that term came from slavery here in the Western Hemisphere in the 1600s, where burlap sacks were put over the heads of mothers and sons to have sex with each other in order to breed what we call field Negroes, okay? And so this is so powerful, man of God. So Kobe Bryant, all right, a shadow conspiracy. Now, you remember Malcolm X, right?
Yeah.
Keep a mental paperclip there on Kobe Bryant. But Malcolm X was a Black conservative. And now he wrote an autobiography called The Autobiography of Malcolm X, which came out 2 years after his assassination in 67. But the author, okay, of this autobiography, okay, was a man who also wrote the Roots series, okay? Now, I'm going to say something here that your listeners have never knew before. More likely, they have never known this before, okay? So the author of the autobiography of Malcolm X, okay, was a man that was also a 33rd degree Mason, whose name is well known here in the United States, and his name is Alex Haley. Alex Haley was a 33rd degree Mason and a Boule. Malcolm didn't know that, just like Kobe didn't know about the past of Jeff Stibel.
Can I ask you this, Larry? If the Masons are such, I mean, we're led to believe that the Masons, the Freemasonic Society, is a very secretive one, and Masons don't broadcast their membership, or they don't walk around wearing a badge. Some do, some wear rings, I know, and stuff like that. Is there definitive proof that people like Alex Haley and others were 33rd degree Masons? This is not conjecture. Are you telling me that we know this to be true?
You go to the website, okay? Boule.com, or Sigma Pi Phi, okay? Sigma Pi Phi, and their website. Now, I'm going to say this. You go to Wikipedia, Sigma Pi Phi, and they give a detailed listing of past and present Boules. And mind you, that Boule logo is descripted as a half a man, half a woman. That represents the transgender sexual disorientation of the Boule. You can go to sigmapifi.org, or just type on Wikipedia, which gives daily updates of the listings of those past, present Boule Seeker Society members, okay? Another credible site here in Black America is the Rastafari.tv, capital Rastafari.tv, okay, which gives detailed listings of Black and present-day Boules. I know this is hard for people to understand. And this level of the Boule Seeker Society, okay, and getting back, before I forget, getting back to the insignia of the half a man, half a woman, half a beast, that's the logo, Brother Richie, on the insignia of the Boule Seeker Society that has his right hand on what we call an urn, capital U-R-N, which they keep the ashes of dead people. And there's a symbol on the urn that represents the wheel within the wheel within the wheel. In other words, the Boule system is tasked not only to protect the nine families of the right knights of the round table, okay, but also to protect the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Club of Rome, the Committee of 300, the Hidden Hand, the Anti-Defamation League, okay, the Augmentation Research Center, the Bilderbergers. So the Boules were created to protect the East Indian Committee of 300 of the Rothschilds, the Fabian Society, the Garland Fund. See, they are assigned, the Boules, to protect the metaphysical secret society. And I want to say something that's going to blow your mind, too. We start talking about Kobe Bryant, a shadow conspiracy. All of our Black organizations here in the United States were not started by Black folk. The NAACP, okay, that was created in the early 1900s, okay, was not created by Black people. And I'm going to say, the bishop is not anti-Semitic. My job is to present the facts to your people, and it's up to your people to come up with the proper conclusions. Now, the NAACP that was created in the early 1900s here in New York City was created by a man by the name of Henry Moskowitz, okay, who was a Romanian Khazarian Jew who, along with the Spingarn brothers, created the NAACP. Why? In order to control the movements of Black America. I know this is hard for people to understand.
Well, it's what, it's what David Icke calls the inversion. It's an inversion. The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People does the very opposite. It doesn't advance the position of people of color. It does the bloody opposite. I can understand that. Yes. I can understand how these organizations would be set up to do the very opposite of that which they are set up to do. I totally get that. Again, these are things I wouldn't have contemplated some years ago, but I can see it clearly now. It's quite staggering, yeah.
And what you just said was so powerful, Brother Richard. That's why you're a great host. When you look at the NAACP that was created in 1914, okay, by the Jewish power elites, okay, through Henry Moskowitz, through the Spingarn brothers, okay, much later through by Julius Rosenwald. Julius Rosenwald, the creator of the Sears Roebuck Company. Do you know, my friend, how the Boules were so instrumental in 1929 here in New York City? They were approached by a demon by the name of Margaret Sanger, the founder of the Birth Control League in 1921, which later became the precursor, okay, for one of the most prolific and demonic eugenics systems in this country and around the world, Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is strategically located in Black, urban, and Latino areas in this country, okay? They're not located in white suburbia, and this is not a white and Black connotation. So then, the Margaret Sanger approach, a Boule, Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois, Dr. Du Bois is so revered in Black history, but he was a sellout, because this woman came to him and said, how can I gain access to Black America to bring forth Planned Parenthood? So the Boules, beginning with Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois, said to her, if you want to take over Black America by bringing in abortion, you have to start and target with the Black pulpit, with these Black Boule preachers. Okay, so Adam Clayton Powell Sr. of the Abyssinian Baptist Church here in Harlem, New York, and later Adam Clayton Powell Jr., one of the first Black congressmen in history, signed off on the genocide of their own people. Why? Margaret Sanger paid each pastor $500 of the Harlem Pastoral Alliance in February of 1929 to support Margaret Sanger to build the first Black abortion clinic in April of 29 on the corner of 125th and Lenox here in Harlem. Why didn't she go to Hollywood? Why didn't she go to the white suburbs? She targeted Black America. Why? Because Margaret Sanger said that the most unsafest place for a child to be is inside of his or her mother's womb. Do you not understand, man of God, that Margaret Sanger's father, Michael Hennessy, okay, had a sexual liaison, okay, with a Black female nightclub dancer, okay, in the middle part of the 1900s, okay? I will send you information of that after the broadcast. So Michael Hennessy, the father, okay, of Margaret Sanger, had a liaison outside of his marriage, okay, with a nightclub dancer in Harlem, okay, and according to the Margaret Sanger papers here in house at New York University, okay, and according to the 1932 edition of the Birth Review, chapter 2, page 5, Margaret Sanger said that her father, okay, Michael Hennessy, had a liaison with a nightclub dancer, okay? Very few people know this, and this woman had a child, okay? And now this child was found dead in the bedroom of the teenager Margaret Sanger in 1926. This is the template, my friend, that began the genocidal mind of Margaret Sanger. So she targets Black preachers. Why are Black preachers in the United States supporting Planned Parenthood? Why? Because they're being paid off. So 19 million Black babies have been slaughtered since Roe v. Wade in 73 because of these Black boule preachers. Man of God, this is a genocide. Do you understand that Margaret Sanger in 1926 was invited by the Women's Auxiliary of the KKK in Silver Lake, New Jersey? Look it up. She said that Black people are apes and are like human weeds. So why is Black America supporting
it?
Parenthood. See, man, I know this is a psyop.
Harry, hold on. We're gonna pause there. We're gonna say this is end of part one because there's so much more we could get into. But I'm about 6 minutes to the end of the program. I wanna invite you back in a month or so, maybe 6 weeks, to follow up on this. But I'd also like to talk about identity politics with you. I'd like to talk about the whole notion of white privilege, what slavery means in the 20th century. You talked about Black identity. I want to get into that with you because I think you've got some very, very interesting ideas on that. What we've been talking about today has genuinely blown my mind. I admire your sincerity. I admire the depth of research that you've put into your broadcasts on your own program and what you've done today. I've been listening to your show in the last 24 hours and before that to try, as I said earlier on, to try and trip you up, to try and catch you out on some of the associations that you've made. But I couldn't do that. I think you make a compelling case for what it is you're saying, even if for some of my audience, they might think this is way over my head. This is impossible. I don't think it is. I'm willing to give this a chance. I really am. I just want to remind our listeners that you can follow Larry on Twitter. Let me give you his Twitter handle. And then before we go, he will very quickly give us some links where you can hear his program. Larry can be found on Twitter very simply. His handle is Bishop L. Gaiters. And Gaiters is spelled G-A-I-T-E-R-S. That's Golf, Alpha, Indigo, Tango, Echo, Romeo, Sierra. That's Bishop L. Gaiters. Follow Larry. You'll find links to his program there. Really interesting stuff, Larry. I'll give you the final word. Thanks for your time today. Thanks for honouring us with your presence. Where can people go to hear your radio programme, which I've heard, and it is professionally produced and presented, and it's very interesting. Where can they hear it?
Yes, we are nationally and internationally syndicated through the Life Radio Network, 92.9 FM, 1460 AM here in New York City, and also through the iHeartRadio Network in the iHeart Media Group. You can listen to us every Tuesday and Thursday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on LifeRadioNJ.com. LifeRadioN, like in Nancy, J like in Jesus.com. Tonight, we're going to have at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Mr. Charlie Robinson. He is the author of The Octopus, right, of Global Control.
Great
He's
book.
Going to unlay, yeah, so we're going to have him tonight. But LifeRadioNJ.com. Now, also with your permission, Brother Richie, to all of your listeners, if you want to donate financially into the global structure of Global Spiritual Revolution Radio, because we're one of the most listened to talk shows on the iHeartRadio network in the iHeartRadio group. We average between 20 to 25 million listeners around the world each and every week. Please go to paypal.me/GSRR Media Group. Again, paypal.me/GSRR Media Group. If it's $10, $20, $50, or $100, it will help us to continue to propagate the truth. My job is to awaken in unawakened people. Let me say this one more time. My assignment that God has anointed me and called me to do, brother, is to awaken an unawakened generation. Now, I got to say to Black people, even in the UK, stop calling yourself African British. And I tell African Americans the same thing. Why? Because the continent that you call Africa is not the original name of the continent. Okay?
Let's get into that, Larry, because we're going to be out in exactly 45 seconds. So let's get into that next time you're on the program. Sincerely, let's book some time for the first week in March. We've had a huge reaction to you being on today. I'm very pleased that you came on. Thanks for your time. Godspeed to you. And I'll be in touch with you in the next couple of days. We are live. We are going to end. And I've got to get this program onto YouTube and onto podcast. I will link you into that, of course, on Twitter. It's been great, Larry, having you on. Thanks for your time today. And I can't wait to catch up soon.
It was an honor to be on with you, brother. We'll see you the first week of March. God bless you there in the UK.
Can't wait, Larry. Bishop Larry Gaylors, live on the Richie Allen Radio Show. That's it for us. That's it for the week. Thanks so much to Larry. Thanks to you for listening. I will tweet out links. I will retweet Larry so you can find his radio program. Really enjoyed listening to that. Have a brilliant weekend. I'll catch up with you again on Sunday for Sunday View. Bye for now.